Welcome to this edition of PowerPoint with Jack Graham. A little later in the program, we'll tell you how you can get a copy of Dr. Graham's book, Choices. But first, here's the message, Courageous Christianity.
The fifth chapter of the book of Matthew, and verses 10, 11, and 12, blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when they revile you and persecute you and say all kinds of evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice and be exceedingly glad, for great is your reward in heaven, for so they persecuted the prophets who were before you. Wouldn't you agree that in this secular culture, that those of us who name the name of the Lord Jesus Christ are facing flak and fire, sometimes even friendly fire from within the church itself, regarding our courageous stand and statements regarding our Lord Jesus Christ? George Veith of World Magazine wrote an article in which he says, "The day has now come when faithful Christians better be ready to become unpopular." He says, Christians have endured martyrdom, but can they endure unpopularity? Remember, when Jesus blesses us with these wonderful characteristics of the kingdom citizen, he always gives a promise. He says, you are blessed when such is true in your life, for of such is the kingdom of heaven. But when Jesus gives us these particular words that we just read in verses 10, 11, and 12, he reminds us that it's not always easy to live for him, that we may be required to face conflict and struggle, harassment and hatred for his name's sake. It is an increasing hostile territory in which we live. Jesus said, you're blessed when you get blasted for me. You're blessed when you are willing to stand up for my truth and to live as I have told you to live. Now, of course, this isn't a natural way to live. I mean, none of us love pain, and certainly we don't go looking for persecution. But supernaturally, we are given the opportunity to do something great for God in our own generation, and that is to stand for him even if no one else is standing. Now, you would think that Christians would be patted on the back for their good living and their righteous walk. But instead, we're often booted out the door. And so how can we be courageous? How can we receive the applause of God, the approval of God, the blessing of God? Jesus says we will have courage in our lives when we consider the fact of temptation. It is real. And the source, the force of this temptation is Satan himself. If you are tested in terms of your faith, if you are called upon to stand for truth when no one else is standing, remember where the test is coming from. So often, the source of the test is Satan himself, for he is like a roaring lion prowling about, seeking whom he may devour. And Paul tells us in Ephesians chapter 6 that this battle in which we are engaged is not a battle of flesh and blood, but it is a battle of principalities, against principalities and powers and rulers in the dark places. And if you are being challenged in your faith, is probably because you've gotten Satan's attention. And that's a good thing, that you've stirred up Satan a little bit. When you read the book of Acts, the Christians in that day were constantly stirring up Satan in satanic opposition to what they were doing. Satan's crowd was staying up all night trying to figure out the work of God. So you may have a target on your back. because you've sold out to follow Jesus Christ. Maybe you thought when you came to Jesus that everything was going to be great and, you know, everybody was going to love you and you'd go home and everybody would hug you, and you found out that you ran right into the face of criticism, sometimes even in your own household, for your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And Satan wants to eliminate us, or to neutralize our faith and our testimony for Christ. Now, persecution is not always physical. And Jesus remarks here that the persecution takes different forms. Notice he says that, for one, persecution can be reviling. He uses the word revile, and this is an interesting word. He says, when men revile you. You know what that means? It literally means in your face or in your teeth. You know what it is, don't you, when somebody gets in your face about something? Jesus says, sometimes people are going to be so offended by who you are and what you believe that they're going to get right up in your face, nose to nose. This happened to the Lord Jesus when he was dying on the cross. The Bible says they hurled insults at him. They were mocking him and abusing him verbally. And so this is one kind of persecution. It's not physical, but powerful words that may curse us and challenge us and demand that we change our views. Malicious words, malevolent words, mocking words. The word for persecution that Jesus uses is a word that can mean physical pain and suffering, but it also can mean mistreatment or even mental attacks. Persecution is part and parcel of the believer's life in the Bible from the beginning to the end. Even in the book of Genesis, when righteous Abel worshiped God according to God's own standards, he was reviled and persecuted by his own brother and murdered. Righteous Abel. Peter, tradition tells us, who was cowardly at one point in his life near the cross, became a bold lion heart for God. And when it came time for Peter to lay down his life for the gospel and the sake of Jesus, he said, "Don't crucify me like my Savior. I'm not worthy to be crucified like Jesus. Hang me upside down." The blood of the martyrs became the seed of the church. And the church expanded because God's courageous, brave-hearted, bold-souled followers were willing to pay any price and to count any cost to follow the Lord Jesus Christ. What an encouragement, what an inspiration they are to us. You say, well, that was then and this is now. Well, let me tell you something. All over the world today, followers of the Lord Jesus Christ are still being persecuted, and many of them are being killed. In fact, it's been estimated that there have been more Christians killed for the Lord Jesus and for the Christian faith in this generation than any other previous generation. And the persecuted church around the world deserves our prayers and our attention. Persecution exists. It's not only possible, it's probable. In fact, the Bible says, this is 2 Timothy 3 and verse 12, all who live godly in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution. Jesus said, not if you are persecuted, but when you are reviled, persecuted, and they say all manner of evil falsely against you for my sake. It's not a matter of if, it's a matter of when. All that live godly in Jesus Christ will suffer persecution. You say, well, Pastor, you're getting all worked up about this, but really, I've been a Christian a long time, and, you know, I haven't really faced much flack. I haven't really been persecuted. Nobody said anything to me. What do you think that says about you and your Christian faith? I tell you what it says about you and your Christian faith. Either you're living in a holy hole somewhere, hiding out, or else you're not living godly in Jesus Christ. It's one of the two. Now, I'm ashamed to admit that I have suffered very little for the cause of Christ. But I tell you, there have been times when we've been called upon, you and me, to stand for Jesus and to speak for Him and to speak His truth and not be silent in the face of opposition and to do it lovingly and graciously and responsively. When we respond to testing and to persecution, let's make sure that it's for His name's sake He said, when you're persecuted for righteousness or right living, literally, when you are blasted for my sake. And then he uses another phrase which says, describing this persecution, when they say all kinds of evil against you falsely for my sake. This refers to lies and slander. I mean, it's one thing to be accused of something when you've done something or said something. But what drives you crazy is if they say something about you that you didn't do or didn't say. And then you have to explain it. Jesus said, expect that. Expect the lies. Expect the innuendos. They lied about Jesus. They said Jesus was born of fornication. They said Jesus is a wine bibber and a glutton. Now, he wasn't a wine bibber, he wasn't a glutton, but because he hung out with people who needed him, they accused him falsely of sinful behavior. And do you expect to be treated any differently if you follow Jesus? If you speak of him and talk of him and share him, be prepared for it. Prepare your children for it. Because it's not going to get better. It's going to get worse.
Welcome back to PowerPoint with Jack Graham. Pastor, this month you have a special gift for our listeners who give a gift to PowerPoint. It's your book, Choices. What can you tell us about this powerful resource?
As always, my prayer is that our books and materials and teaching will help you navigate what's going on in your life, especially as it relates to how to believe and how to live your faith in this confusing and chaotic culture. So I really want you to get this book, Choices, because not only will it encourage you, but it will help you answer the questions that perhaps your grandchildren, your children are asking in times like these. And all you need to get it is to bring a gift today. Your support makes PowerPoint possible, which means your help enables us to share God's word and God's wisdom with millions of people all over the world. What's extra exciting about this month is that thanks to a generous $150,000 matching grant, your gift is going to be double when you give it.
Call today and get Choices as our thank you for your gift. And remember, when you give, your gift will be doubled by a generous matching grant. This is the last day to have your gift doubled by the matching grant, so call right now. Call 1-800-795-4627. That's 1-800-795-4627. Or text the word CHOICES to 59789. Now let's get back to today's message, Courageous Christianity.
If you want to be a courageous Christian, continue to forgive. That's what Jesus says. In this same Sermon on the Mount, over in verse 43, look at it. He said, you have heard that it was said, you shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I say to you, love your enemies and bless those who curse you and do good to those who hate you and pray for those who spitefully use you and persecute you. Rather than retaliate and react, we respond, Jesus said, to the hatred, to the insults. And rather than clench fists, we give open hands and open heart. We show love. We pray for our enemies. Too often the church of Jesus, in reaction to some of the persecution and the political correctness of our times, we're so long on anger and so short on mercy and love and grace. Jesus said, if you really want to win them, and that's really what this is all about, it's not building our kingdom, it's building the kingdom of God. He said, if you really want to make a difference when you're persecuted, return love and prayer and kindness. There was a young terrorist by the name of Saul. He was an enemy of the church. He despised Christians. He blasphemed the name of Jesus. He's described as breathing out threatenings and murders. The very air that he breathed was full of hatred and hostility. And so he went about the business of killing Christians. And one day, he gathered an angry mob to persecute a godly deacon in the church by the name of Stephen. Stephen was a spirit-filled man. And he preached Christ, one of the greatest sermons ever recorded in history is recorded as this godly layman preached Jesus. And after he preached, they began to hurl insults, and then they began to throw stones. And the Bible records in the book of Acts, as they were throwing stones, that this young terrorist, Saul, were holding their garments. But something happened to young Saul that day. Because as this godly man was dying, it appeared on his face that an angel was glowing. He cried out, even as his Lord cried out on the cross, "Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they do." He loved them. He prayed for them as Jesus had commanded. And something happened in Saul's heart that day. The hardness was chipped away. And so when he was on his way later to Damascus to destroy the church and kill more Christians, and he met the risen Christ, "Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me?" "Persecuting you, Lord? When did I persecute you?" "When you persecuted my church, when you kill my people, when you imprison those who follow me." And Saul was gloriously transformed, and the murderer, Saul, became the missionary, Paul. And it all began, I believe, when he saw a man die for Jesus with grace and dignity and love and prayer. So if you take some heat, if you face the fire, if someone insults you, if someone throws you out of their group, students, if someone makes fun of you, you return evil for good. That's what Romans chapter 12 in the last verse says, a kind of life verse for me. It says, overcome evil with what? Good. That's not natural, that's supernatural. That's the work of Jesus in our lives. But continue to forgive, because love in this battle, this spiritual battle, is our greatest power, and prayer our greatest weapon. So continue to forgive. And then thirdly, if you want to be a courageous Christian, conquer your fears. See, part of our problem is that we fear rejection, we fear reviling, we fear being shut down or cut off, we fear not being allowed to be a part of the group, we fear that our social standing, we fear that our jobs are in jeopardy, and so on. And so if we're going to be courageous, we have to get over our fears. Turn in your Bibles to Revelation chapter 2 and verse 10. The book of Revelation is a picture of eternity. One thing you see in the book of Revelation is myriads of blood-washed, blood-stained multitudes who have given their lives for Christ. But in chapter 2, he talks about great tribulation that's coming upon the earth. And notice the counsel that our Lord gives. Do not fear any of those things which you are about to suffer. Indeed, the devil is about to throw some of you into prison that you may be tested. And you will have tribulation 10 days. But watch this, be faithful until death, and I will give you the crown of life. Jesus said, be faithful unto death. You see, if you're not afraid of death, if killing you can't stop you, then pray tell what can stop you. You see, if you're like Paul, who says, for to me to live and to die is gain, then heads you win, tails you win, there is nothing that can stop a courageous Christian who has once and for all settled this issue. Hey, the worst they can do is kill me. So what? I'll just die and be with Jesus. And once you conquer that fear of death, then you're on your way. Let me tell you something. There are a lot of things worse than death, and one of them is cowardice. I fear denying Jesus much more than I fear death. And sure, you may lose some things. You may lose popularity. If you live for Jesus in your business, it may cost you some clients if you have integrity and character. It could even cost you your career. But what's more important, your career or your character? What's more important, your career, or the cause of Jesus Christ. You see, on the other side, all the stuff we have, it's not going to mean anything. What's going to matter is the legacy we live and the legacy we live for Jesus and leave for Jesus Christ. That's what's going to matter. All this other stuff, it doesn't matter. So you have confidence and you have certainty, knowing that you have ultimate victory in Jesus Christ. And it'll be worth it all when we see Jesus, guaranteed. One final thing, if you want to be a courageous Christian, celebrate your future. That's what Jesus said when you're persecuted, lied about, slandered, cheated, mistreated, abused, whatever. He said, rejoice and be exceedingly glad, for great is your reward in heaven. And the word that he used for great there means immeasurably great. Jesus said, be happy, have a party. Why? Now, I mean, is he teaching masochism here? Jesus is not saying rejoice in the pain. That's masochism. You know, it's not hurt me, hurt me, hurt me. But rather rejoice in the Lord. And rejoice, one, in the privilege of being called upon to stand for Jesus. He said, for so persecuted they the prophets before you. Hey, you're in good company. You're in privileged company if you're persecuted. If you get to live and die even for Jesus. People like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, those three Hebrew teenagers, when they were told to bow down to the king's idol, the image of Nebuchadnezzar, and the music played, and everybody bowed down except these three boys. They said, maybe you didn't understand. We're going to give you another chance. When the music plays, you get on your face, you bow down, you worship the image of Nebuchadnezzar, or we're going to throw you in the furnace. They said, we don't even have to talk about this. We're not going to have a discussion. We don't need to talk to each other. We've already made up our minds. Our God is able to deliver us from the fiery furnace. And then here's what they said that I really love. But if not, we're still not going to bow down to your stinking idol, O King. Loose translation, but that's close. So they threw them in there. And later when they looked in there and they said, didn't we throw three guys in there? And there's a fourth in the fiery furnace, one that looks like the Son of Man. You see, when we're called upon to have the privilege of suffering, the disciples said they were rejoicing in Acts 5:41 that they were counted worthy to suffer for Jesus' name. Because not only are we privileged, but his presence is with us there in the fiery furnace. Jesus gets in the fire with you. You want to be close to Jesus, you stand for Jesus in a tough place, in a tough time. You'll sense his presence like never before. We have the privilege. We celebrate because of the privilege of suffering for Jesus. We celebrate because of the presence of Christ in our lives when we suffer, or when we hurt, or when we're in pain, or when we're put out. If you're put out, Jesus will be out there with you. And also, we celebrate because of the promise. He said, great is your reward in heaven. Rejoice and be exceedingly glad.
You're listening to PowerPoint with Jack Graham, and today's message, Courageous Christianity. In a world that's constantly trying to redefine truth, where do you find truth you can depend on? The answer lies in the Bible. That's why we want to send you Dr. Graham's book, Choices. And thanks to a $150,000 matching grant, your gift today will be doubled to share the wisdom of Scripture with more people through PowerPoint. This is the last day to have your gift doubled by the matching grant, so call today. Call 1-800-795-4627. That's 1-800-795-4627. You can also text the word CHOICES to 59789.
And don't forget to visit jackgraham.org, where you can shop our e-store, give a gift online, or sign up for Dr. Graham's free daily email devotional. Our website again is jackgraham.org. Pastor, what is your PowerPoint for today?
We may not receive great accolades here, but in heaven, it will be the greatest award ever. It's been said that in heaven, we will have all eternity to celebrate our victories, but we only have one life to earn them. This is our life, and this is our time to live for Jesus Christ. I love that old story back at the turn of the century of a missionary who had been on the foreign field serving Christ for over 60 years. He had buried his life there in sharing the gospel. He had even buried his wife on the mission field and some children there. He had served often without success and without acclaim, without notice or applause. And so after all of those years, he was returning to the United States as a faithful missionary. Well, as it happened, the President of the United States at that time, Theodore Roosevelt, was on the same ship. And so when they arrived at the port in New York City, as they were getting off the boat, there were bands and crowds and cheers and, of course, balloons and celebration and applause. But it wasn't for the missionary. Of course, it was for President Roosevelt. And so the lonely missionary got off the boat, and he was not honored, and he was not applauded. He was just a man walking off the plank, and there was no one there to meet him or greet him or even to welcome him. And just for a moment, as he related later, he began feeling sorry for himself. And he said, "Lord, after all of these years serving you, I come home and there's no reception, there's no welcome. Is this the treatment that your children should receive?" And it was just about that time that the Lord tapped him on the shoulder and reminded him with these words, "My son, you're not home yet." No, we're not home yet. When we get home, there will be the cheers of heaven, the applause of the Father, the Son, and the Spirit, and we will be welcomed home, and Jesus will himself embrace us, and we will celebrate his favor throughout all eternity. But until then, keep serving Christ, keep sharing Christ, keep standing courageously for the Lord Jesus Christ, and one day when you do go home, it will be time to celebrate.
And that is today's PowerPoint. Remember, when you give a gift to PowerPoint, we'll send you Dr. Graham's book, Choices, as our thanks. Call 1-800-795-4627. That's 1-800-795-4627. You can also text the word CHOICES to 59789. And join Dr. Graham next time when he brings a message about engaging our culture. That's next time on PowerPoint with Jack Graham.
PowerPoint with Jack Graham is sponsored by PowerPoint Ministries.